Blog Talk Radio.
We locked in. ATL, we locked in. New York City, we locked in. California, we locked in. Norway, we locked in. Chicago, we locked in. Cali again, we locked in. ATL again, we locked in. New York, we locked in. Peace and light, family. Welcome to the Vane Verdict. Again, it's the Vane Verdict. Here to call the gang service. Now, I ain't saying it's perfect, but with this change and this truth, gonna make all the pain worth it, y'all. How y'all feeling tonight? It's a little light version tonight. Salute to the team. Salute to Miss K. Salute to Six. A little quickly recapping on, our show last night, dealing with domestic violence, having a couple of conversations, with some homegirls of mine earlier, and, this issue been really bothering me, as a black man, mainly, as a father, a father of three girls, and, I can only imagine, I didn't have an all sisters and see my, I guess it was a little different, for me. And, even seeing, growing up, seeing my mom abused a lot, and even almost put to the deathbed at one point, at the hands of domestic violence from a dude. You know what I'm saying? That shit is something that always, really bothered me. And, I won't go all the way into details on that situation, but where it happened. But my mother, she was in the hospital, for some time. Excuse me, for the sake of domestic violence with a gentleman, and it's a little serious, but she, awoke, out of her sleep, at a point. She called me to the bedside. I'll never forget, me, my sister was there, and my aunt. She told me, son, I want you to remember three things. You'll never be smarter than a woman. A woman only do or put up with, only let you, she'll only do, or put up with as much as she'll allow, something that's in the lines of that nature. And but you're going to make me three promises. As sure as I'm going to hit on my deathbed, I swear I'll never forget this, family. I was like 12 years old. I'm going to say, you never put your hands on one. You never cheat on her. Or you never call her out her name. And it took me, a minute to, really grasp that. Of course, again, I'm 12 years old. And I'm seeing my mom. That's every boy, a male, that's your first, I guess you could say, that's any child, rendition of God. You cry out to mom, That's your mother. You love the love you have for your mother's unconditional. So for me to sit there and see her at 12 years old, at the height of me, and that day, kind of changed a lot of things in me. My behavior and things are kind of downhill from there. But anyway, she told me, promise her, three things. I never put my hands on a woman, never call her out her name, or cheat on her. Well, I need to do any of that, just done. And then, it took for me, getting older and, living and, going through, and I ain't gonna even say going through relationships, because I wasn't really, I was playing, I was young, right? But just going through different, dealings with, different females or whatnot. And I understood that. And I always held that down. That always been a thing of mine. When I was in dealings with a female, it wasn't no cheating. I was safe, when I was with it in real dealings. You did. But, and also, I never, put my hands on one, neither. And, even calling out a name or whatever, that is something I just can't do. Like, I hear a lot of guys, I was about to say, I'm not knocking guys that do, you know, talk to their women like that, but at the same time, you know what? I think I am, fella. This is vain verdict. You did. It's the ugly truth here. You know what I mean? And I can't sit here and say that's acceptable, mainly because of the reason that I don't. And we'll get to that. You know what I mean? Why I don't think that's, you know, appropriate, you know, vernacular to be using, you know, to somebody that's supposed to hold such a key position in your life. You know, this man, you know, talking to a woman, but you talking to her to like she a person on the street. So, like, for I got to do that, calling you out your name, I don't respect you. I'd rather walk away from this. You know what I mean? And as far as, like, the cheating, that means, like, where am I cheating for? If you doing what you're supposed to do, you giving me everything I want, right? Or that means you lacking something. It's something else I'm seeking. Or I'm just not attentive. Either way, it happens, right? So, but that's not, I think before that need to happen for my attention can get elsewhere like that. If it's that serious and I'm not focused, I'd rather walk away before I cheat on you. You know what I mean? I think that just make more sense. Putting my hands on you, Lord, that shit does. As a father, man, with daughters, fellas, man, you know what I mean? We gonna get to that nature, but for me, you know what I mean? I never. You know, even maybe the thought, of course, you know what I mean, there's been, you know, heated arguments and things like that. But before I gotta treat you like a nigga on the street, if I'm that frustrated at you, why I got to harm you, knowing I'm physically, you know what I mean, capable of causing much harm to you than you to me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm to that point that enraged that I can see myself hurting you like that, we don't need to be in each other's presence. You know, and I just think that's something I always try to hold down, you know, and I try to instill in my son as well, you know, respect women in that nature. I don't see things, and I held those down in every relationship I've ever been in, you know what I'm saying, and it done had this, it's a good thing, right, you know, because even though, you know, obviously, you know what I'm saying, relationships, you know, still venerated on it, you know, other circumstances, but it was never neither one of those things. You know what I mean? That, you know, cause all that shit to suffice, because neither one of those things. Ever. But see, the thing is, like, now watch this, on the gray area of that, the flip side of that. I've had 3 black eyes my whole entire life, man. My 34 years of walking this earth. And they all came from a woman. Yeah, that's a fact. 3 black eyes my whole life, and all of them came from a woman. Because I refuse to hit a woman back, man. And I think some women push that. Women know how to provoke, you know what I'm saying, know how to push men to that limit, man. And I can tell you, fellas, I done been strong, man. I done been strong. I done took some shit that most of these guys couldn't even fathom. Couldn't even think of handling, man. And I done took it, you know what I mean? I take it all the time. You know, I've been abused because I refused to fight back. And one thing I don't know is that, and I was sitting here thinking about that, you know, where it caused those blows and shit like that, right? A lot of the women, you know, that I talk to, you know, it'd be a common thing, you know, I talk to them. I always ask them, like, you know, y'all, you know, been in these abusive relationships with guys. How was it in the beginning? You know what I mean? It was a good, you know, relationship. You know what I mean? Because nobody, you don't come off and just haul off and hit you, like, hey, how you doing? My name's so-and-so, slap the shit out. You know, obviously it ain't like that. You know, so what's the turning point? You know what I mean? What's that defining moment that makes a man, you know, tick like that or snap? Build up? Is it something he had emotionally? Because I've seen a lot of times, you know, a lot of guys I know that I've seen hit woman. I know no guys that have been straight aggressive like that, right? And just beat a woman for no reason. What the fuck you cook? Bitch, I ain't say I want no fucking rice and slap the shit out of her when you walk in the house. No, not no crazy shit like that. But I know niggas that will slap the shit out of a woman in the argument. Because, see, watch this. Women do that pressure shit a lot. Now, I know women that'll provoke. Women will make you tell you to hit them. I've seen that shit before. And that's the craziest shit in the world to me, man. But I've literally seen that shit a lot. I mean, women will provoke, you know, guys to hit them. And ladies, don't do that shit, because you ask the right motherfucker to hit your ass and he haul off and hit that, then you go to call the police and say, you know, boo-hoo it and all of that. And that shit crazy, you know what I mean? You shouldn't invite that. That's the wrong nature. And I wonder where did that stem from? What's the thing right there? Because all the women ain't no saying that. Like, they either pushed the guy or they did something first. They probably hit him, hit the guy first, slapped the shit out of him. Or probably a guy, it was probably 9 times out of 10, if it wasn't that other percentile, it was an argument. Probably something the guy did that he keep lying on him. She that frustrated. And maybe he lying about it, or I wasn't with this bitch, or maybe some shit like that, or, you know, whatever, however the shit go. And then she get frustrated about him lying. Well off and hit him. He hit her back. Now it's a fight. Now he's really upset and mad because now she hitting him and shit. Now, you know what I mean? That shit, that's crazy, man. Where do all that stem from, though, fam? Where we get that mentality? You know, what makes a woman that angry at a guy? What's the guy that looking for? Why would a guy hit a woman? Right? I think, and I always say, that's why I love, you know, in the studying I'm doing, you know, you never, it's hard to tell the actions of something without first knowing the nature of it. You know, you have to know the nature of something in order to understand the action. Let's say it that way then. You know, so now the nature of the woman is like that which of a consoler, soul of man, you know. He's there to, you know, whisper the right words in his ears and paint the perfect picture and set that gay ass atmosphere. I love my teacher. I was miserable as fast. And she's able to set that mood for consolation for the guy. You know what I mean? And that's a woman's nature, you know. And it says, the woman was created so a man can find peace in her, you know, and a peace of mind, you know, within her comfort. That's what the design is, you know. And then she was created to be a man's helpmeet, or his helpmeet. Now, if the man's rule and order, as a man was given power and dominion over the earth, you know, as you know, the text says, man given power and dominion over the earth, and his orders was to, you know, be fruitful and multiply and cultivate the land. You know, he's supposed to go forth. There's work to be done. That's what cultivate means. That means there's work that needs to be done in order for you to bear fruit. Double entendre, and I go into it a little bit. Meaning, or in other words, it could mean, of course, you know, we say go be fruitful and multiply. We're thinking sex, have babies. That's a part of it, but that's a real small part of it. But that's a process that happens in cultivation and, you know, producing good fruit. You know what I mean? Things have to be right. The right things have to be put in and the right care have to be taken for that seed that you plant in order for the right fruit to be bad. You know what I mean? And that's just what it is, you know, as far as like relationships. So you clinging to a woman, you know, and that's your heaven. And that's your joy. So man, his only heaven has to be in that woman. Like a woman's only heaven has to be in that man. And they come together and create heaven on earth. That makes sense, right? I know it ain't just me. But now, if I'm looking at woman knowing, you know, where her role is, and I think what has happened now, a lot of men have been, you know, script, so to speak, been a script of that power, stripped of that knowledge of self and his call to rule and stand up and, you know what I mean, be a provider and a protector for his woman and his family. And when that man is cut off from doing that, he's cut off from himself and he feels less than himself because he knows there ain't nothing out here for him. I mean, look at where the black man is in trouble, family. Look at us. Ain't no jobs. Guys don't want to work. They don't want the little education they giving them. They don't want no God. Their dad don't, like it's red, they don't want no relationships. They don't want to take care of their kids. They don't want to, you know, go to school, like the fam said, education. But, you know what I mean? It's a fucked up thing. They're standing out on the cone. You know, they, you know, jumping in and out of gangs. You know what I mean? And, you know, and it's slim pickers, and then, damn, guess what? It's 2018. And a lot of these motherfuckers turning to men. Men becoming other men. And women becoming other than themselves. What's going on, man? You know what's going on, son? And it's such a disconnect. So, like, guy ain't doing what he's supposed to be. He's less than himself. And then a woman, she feels that and she knows it and she starts to disrespect that man and talk down at him. You know what I mean? And you know, call him, you ain't shit. Pussy nigga this. You know, pussy nigga that. You know what I mean? You know how women do it. You know, we wouldn't do that. You gay motherfucker. I would hang with your friend. You know, those shit women do the shit that piss man off. You know what I mean? Talk about your mama and shit. You know what I mean? You know, that shit women do. Some, I'm going to say, you know, all women, but, you know, some that characteristic of, you know, a female. You know what I mean? I ain't going to even say woman for the sake of the argument. But, and then put on for that purpose. And then looking at the same thing, right? Most guys, especially, you know, this modern society, it's a disconnect from where they're supposed to be, And if a woman's calling or her orders to be that man's help me, and what she have him doing? You ain't doing nothing, bro. You sitting on your ass all day playing the game. You know what I'm saying? You know, playing her kid game, eating up all their snacks and shit. You ain't got no job. You ain't trying to go to work. Smoking with your friends. Got them all over the house and shit. You know what I'm saying? She coming home from work. She probably got two damn jobs. But you waiting on her to get paid. Get you a couple of hundred or so, so you can try to go flip, but you ain't gonna do nothing but fuck it up and go fuck it off, putting on, probably riding around in her shit, riding around in her car. You know what I mean? Baby shit, man, such a disconnect. She raising you. You know, it's crazy, and you know, a woman's supposed to help a man, you know what I'm saying, achieve what he's supposed to be achieving with the goals he's setting up for himself to be productive. You know, for him and his family and his society and his people, you know? And that's the fruit you produce. you know, your contribution to the community, your contribution to the next. You know, that's what you're calling it. You know, but if you but the guys ain't really looking at them, looking at, you know, the woman in that nature. You know, and that's where the disconnect is, especially if man ain't living up to where his duties is. You know, he's feeling less than himself, you know. You know, and he ain't worth shit. He know he ain't worth shit. She handled that, especially here in the city in Atlanta. That's why I have time. I hate being from this shit because it's a common thing with most guys here in the city. You know what I'm saying? They sitting up, ain't working. You know what I'm saying? The woman working, like, again, she probably working 2-3 jobs. You know what I'm saying? She waiting on her to put him on and shit. And all that kind of old bullshit. And they, you know what I mean? So that's why she lashes out at him, because she don't respect him. Because she know he can be doing more, or he should be doing more. He should be something else. And he ain't even taking the initiative, you know what I'm saying, to try to be and become something else. And what he do? He end up living inside her mouth every time they get into an argument. Because she frustrated and she pressing him, talking to him like she shouldn't talk to him. He don't know how to react because he ain't shit and don't feel like he's shit anyway, because she right about everything she's saying and is pressing him, you know what I'm saying? So he's like, he'll slap the shit out of her. And that's a disconnect. 939, how you feeling?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, Queen. I ain't making noise. Sitting here, rambling on, talking to the people about that, you know, little few points.
Yes,
domestic violence.
Domestic violence is, I don't think it's one of those things that we can just put in one box. Like, the scenario that you're talking about is, you know, it's definitely a valid scenario. I actually have a good friend of mine who has put herself in several of those situations.
Yeah.
You know, she flies off at the mouth and, you know, does little stuff that people call petty, and then it's a chain reaction. Not saying that it's excusable, but she has even admitted to herself, like, okay, well, if I wouldn't have said such a, you know, X, Y, and Z, then he wouldn't have reacted, or because I kept pushing him, or because I kept slapping him, or whatever it is, and then he retaliated. But the problem with that is that goes, if you think back to it, that goes, to me, it looks like a situation of a person not being able to control their emotions and their actions. And
yeah,
if you think about it, children react the same way, even as young as, you know, toddlers, 2 and 3. If they don't like something, or if you take their toy, what do? They hit you.
Exactly.
It goes to them not being redirected. Is that's not how you retaliate and get your frustration and your aggression out. Now, I was in an abusive marriage, and my situation is different from that. I heard when you asked the question about when you were saying in the beginning of the relationship, what was it like? For me, very young. We got married at 19. You know, we met at 18, pregnant at 18, 19. So completely naive to the world, completely naive to who we were, you know, supposed to grow and develop into. So there was a lot of things for me that made me think, oh, he was different, because a lot of the boys and the guys that I was attracted to in high school, which I'm sure you've heard before, I was attracted to the bad guys. I was attracted to the boys in the gangs and whatnot. And my ex-husband was the opposite of that. So that's what I got caught up in. I got caught up in the fact that he was the complete opposite of what I thought, and he was what I thought I should be dating. And I can say that after our divorce, in hindsight, there were some things that I completely just overlooked. He never physically hit me before marriage or anything like that, but my, you know, he's very controlling and manipulative.
Right. And of course, I just want to be clear, you know, for the listeners as well. And it's abuse mm-hmm. thing, you know. It ain't all. Of course, it's not just physical, you know. And I'm
right.
sure, you know, we all would agree, you know, the mental abuse is, you know, more damaging than physical.
Yeah,
even,
and I'm
even
glad that you
said
that because, like, for whatever reason, people forget about mental and emotional abuse. It's like the only thing that people really think about when they think of abuse or domestic violence, they picture, you know, you having black eyes and broken noses and broken bones all the time. Mm-hmm. And that is a form of abuse, but that's not the only type of abuse. I had to endure all three, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, for me,
you don't think that's dangerous? That's more dangerous, though? You know what I mean? Because especially like you say, you know, some people overlook that emotional abuse. And I don't think it's so much people overlooking it. They just suppress it so much that it turns them into something else. Because you have to become something else in order to block that.
And you know? Absolutely. You know, sometimes you become, you know, you're in denial. And people on the outside tell you when you try to tell them your story, like, it's like they're in such disbelief because they've never seen you with a black eye.
Or, you know,
they've never seen you with a broken bone. And like you just said, you have to become something else. Like, I can't tell you how many times that I had to literally, like, it's like you put your face on. You have to put your face on to go out into the world to pretend that you have this picture-perfect family and you have a picture-perfect life and everybody idolizes you and thinks that you guys have the perfect marriage. But nobody really knows what you have to deal with once you get home or once you're out, you know, away from and it sucks because you have to deal with it on your own. And then when you have children, it's because you still have to be, you know, this great mom. And then, you know, you want to try to shield your children from certain things, but eventually, and especially in my situation, eventually you can't shield them from seeing and hearing stuff anymore. The more aware they become.
So let me ask you. What was that turning point? You know, and I'm sure it didn't start. When did it from with the mental abuse? Like you said, it was all three. Like what happened? Was there a drastic change in the relationship or something happened that, you know?
I can say again, us getting married at such a young age, I think, played a major part. It was like one of those, well, we got a baby on the way. I don't know what else we're supposed to do. I guess because we were raised in the church and both of our parents are ministers, we're supposed to get married. Like, what else are you supposed to do? And neither one of us, obviously, at that age, were prepared for that. And it's crazy because after we got married is when I found out that my ex-husband was cheating consistently. And then he started to tell me that, and mind you, by this time, I'm like seven, eight months pregnant. And he started to tell me that, you know, marrying me was a mistake and he doesn't know why he did it. And he was going to wait until after the baby to leave me. You know, that he was planning on leaving me after I had the baby. And it went from that to after I had my daughter, she wasn't even a month old by the time there was the first physical altercation. She was like 20 days old. And he would always, you know, try to threaten me with taking her from me. In high school and play football, so he did a lot of submissive holds and trying to, you know, choke me out and trying to make me black out and trying to put me through walls and all type of, you know, things like that. And I didn't really talk about it. And then once I started to talk about it to family, it really wasn't. I can only imagine what it's like to be the family, because it's like, well, no matter what I tell you, you're not going to leave the situation until you are ready to leave the situation. So, and it just got worse. You know, it went from on the mental level, it would be the, oh, well, you'll never be anything without me. When our oldest daughter was 4 months old and I got pregnant again, and he told me that if I didn't have an abortion, he would hate me for the rest of his life, and he was going to leave me anyway, so I would just be stuck at the age of 20 with two babies, and nobody would want me and nobody would help me. Just all types of stuff, you know, like that. And
so
that went on.
So
for
that,
6 years.
At that age, did you still deal with him before, because you felt like he was right? Or was that fear, or was it still love?
I definitely can say that I stayed out of fear, because first of all, again, when you're that age, you don't know what the hell you're supposed to do. You might have all these ideas, but you don't know how to do them. And really at that point, I thought that that was it for me. Like, this was it. Like, there was nothing else. Like, that was it. Like, that was the end of my life. Like, it was either try to leave, and I felt like I would literally fail at life. So everything that he told me, I believed it. And I was stuck. Wow. It wasn't love. I was stuck. And then also it was like, well, I don't want my daughter to grow up without being in a two-parent home. Mm. When you look at how society says you're supposed to do things, and then again, and not knocking the church, but because I grew up in the church, that's what the picture's supposed to look like.
Well, I agree.
But a lot of it was fear.
Yeah, and that's what the order is, too. And even then, see, it can be happening because I come from a single, well, parent household. You might as well say it was.
Mm-hmm.
Come from a single parent household. And, you know, me and my sister, you know, I think it depends on the parent as well, anyway. Because, you know, some mothers are stronger than most guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, you know, as the years passed on, and we have two children, but as the years passed on, it was like, well, I'm in it. I'm going to, you know, try to stick it out. Because it was for the sake of my children. And because, like you just said, that is how the family structure and the family order should be. And
How do you feel about that now, like that statement?
As far as the family structure?
No, what you just said, you know, like, you don't want your daughters, of course you don't want your daughters to grow up and go through that, right?
Right.
But you stayed there for the sake of it.
Right. So here's the thing about that. The turning point that caused me to, like, get up and just say, F it, F all of this marriage, you know, fuck this house, these cars, this business, was the fact that I got tired of hearing, it was literally like a light bulb. I'm saying to my children, Daddy, sorry, I didn't mean for you to see me do that to Mommy. And
oh, wow.
At that point, my youngest daughter was about 2 years old, and my oldest daughter was about 4 or 5. They're two and a half years apart. Like a light bulb, right? Because at that point, now they're getting older and they're starting to notice and pay attention, and now they're crying and they're screaming and they see all of this and they're processing. One thing about what happens to children. So if we go all the way back to when I was that age, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, my father, he was abusive. Not just to my mother, but he was abusive to my sisters, my older sisters, their mothers, right? And I remember at one point him telling us a story, myself and, you know, two of my older sisters, and he was saying the last day that he ever hit a woman, I had to have been, I was three. So my I would have been three. I have another sister. We're the same exact age. And then there's a sister that's 5 years older than us. And he said we were all at the house. And my sister that's also the same age as I, her mother was there. And whatever it was that happened between the two of them, he said he slapped her so hard that her nose was bleeding and her lip was busted. And he knocked her on the floor. And he said was looking down at her, he was looking down at her, but he looked up. And myself and my two sisters were standing there in the doorway watching. Now, of course, I don't remember that. I was 3 years old. My other sister that, you know, she and I are the same age, she doesn't remember it. But both of my two, both of those sisters, they can attest to, like, all of the different times that they remember seeing their mothers and our father have physical altercations and, you know, him hitting on them. And my mom, she, you know, she took me and bounced. And her thing was, she was like, I had to fight for my life dealing with your daddy. So all my think about it, all my life growing up, I knew I had another dad. Like, you know, I had a biological father. I didn't know where he was or what happened, but that's why. And you know how many times he threatened to kill her, and I think she told me at one point he tried to hit her with his gun. And you know, he had all of these women, and my dad, he told us the story. He was like, I used to be a pimp, and the way that I managed my hoes is the way that I thought that I could manage my women. And he was I, you know, he had no regard at that time on how to treat a woman. And, you know, that's how you take that. That's how you, you know, you display control and dominance. You whip them, you beat them. So even though I didn't remember that as a child, I ended up in an abusive marriage. And now I have two daughters. And it was like, I don't want them to grow up thinking that this is acceptable. And then every single time he turns around and says, Eddie, sorry, I didn't mean, you know, for you to see that. I didn't mean for you to hear that.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's heavy, man.
So,
You know, I saw my mom going through that a lot, you know, growing up. I seen one of my stepdaddies broke her arm. And the other one, like I was saying earlier, you know, he left my mom for dead one night, man. Real shit, I never did that shit. Yeah, man, he thought, you know, she was out with her homegirl. He thought she was out cheating and shit, man. You know, one of them old types. He, you know what I mean? You know, he went to calling relatives and all of this and that, you know, telling them he loved them and all that. You know what I mean? And it didn't sit right with his sister, you know what I mean? And me and my sister wasn't there at the time. But his sister, you know, was like, when he did that, because, you know, it's the wee hours of the morning. That was out of the norm for him. He was like, you know, the spirit just wouldn't let her go back to sleep. She got up, got in her car, and, you know, drove to my mom's house. And, you know, she got there. His car was gone. My mom's car was there. The door was open. And, you know, the man had done beat my mom all over the house, man. She unconscious. He gone. And so, you know, stabbed her in the neck with some shit with a steak knife. You know what I mean? Blood all over the house. You know what I'm saying? And, like, that's why I was saying, you know, like, that was my awakening, and I saw that all my life. I saw my mom get choose the wrong guys all my life. You know what I mean? And saw, you know, saw go through that. And it was different for me, you know what I'm saying? That's why I don't understand for the life of me, man, how guys can do that, because as a child, I almost saw mine get taken away from here after years of abuse. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I couldn't fathom. And
yeah.
then, you know, with her, when she came out of her, you know, out of her sleep in the hospital, you know, like I was saying, had that conversation, you know, and she made me make those promises to her. And I'm going to hold them down
right.
forever. You know what I mean? And so, you know, that's
yeah.
something I ain't try to instill in mine. And I believe in doing that, only way to do that, especially for the kids, is that we lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Leading by example. That's in with, you know, mannerism and all of that. And then, like, and I was saying, let me ask you this, you know, and I'm going to go back, because I want to go back to what I was saying earlier about this domestic abuse. What do you think
mm-hmm.
was him, what caused him to lash out at you in those months?
I think that maybe there is a possibility of not being where he wanted to be or expected to be in life, or not knowing what he was supposed to do and wanted to do. You know, because when I met my ex-husband, he was a sous chef. Well, now he's in accounting and bookkeeping. And I was with him through that transition from one career to a completely drastic change. So
yeah, that's a
I
big
think
difference.
It just had to be, and yeah, definitely. And then, you know, maybe the idea of so much pressure at 19, 20 years old of now you have a family when you know, still trying to sow your royal oats. And now
yeah.
you've taken on this responsibility of not just being a father, but being a father and a husband. I know he didn't have the best upbringing. I'm sorry,
he
go ahead.
Wasn't done being a boy yet.
Right. And I know he didn't have the best relationship with his mother growing up. Definitely did not have the best. And you know what? It's absolutely horrible now, to the point where there is no communication at all between the two. As a matter of fact, he physically assaulted his mom last year.
Wow.
He's been physically abusive to his two sisters. And back to that manipulation and whatnot, my ex-husband is the type of person that if you were to meet him, I'm going to say a real person that can see through the bullshit, can peep it, but just any old, you know, just Joe Smo that gets caught up in the fluff, they would think he was just such an, you know, upstanding guy, and he was just such a great guy, and, you know, he's educated and well-rounded.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
my ex-husband is not drunk that's, you know, just bullshitting
yeah,
his life away.
Closing, man. Damn.
Right. So, you know, to the point where, like, with one of his sisters, like, he literally tried to make, you know, tried to, you know, to say that the girl was crazy and was on drugs and this, that, and the third. But see, if I wouldn't have witnessed certain things myself with my own two eyes, you know what I'm saying? So, and then when he assaulted his mom last year, my children were there to see it. So, I don't know. You know, you try not to give people excuses for something. Things, but the only thing I can say is, like I said, it started probably because, like you said, he wasn't done being a boy. Not to mention, as a child, he's the oldest out of his four siblings and had to help his dad raise, you know, because when his parents split, not only did his parents split, but his mom, you know, she left the state. They were in Connecticut. She came all the way down to like Alabama or Georgia their whole entire childhood. So he was stuck now, you know, being a father to three kids.
Is he a good father?
Well, let's just say that my children, you know, have asked me to try to seek full custody and not send them to visit him anymore.
Oh, shit.
Damn. I made it a point to never badmouth or speak ill about their father to them because I wanted them to grow up and see, you know, who he was themselves because my mother did that all my life. She always, you know, even now. But, yeah. They are like, so how much does it cost you to get full custody? My youngest daughter, she said that she doesn't want to see him again until after she graduates college. And she's 8.
Oh, wow.
So.
And see, fellas, that's exactly what you don't want to happen, man. I'm telling you, man, that shit is not worth it, man. And I don't know. I mean, well, obviously, it don't sound like this brother got good character at all. Nobody that I care to know anyway. But, man, like, I don't know anybody, especially me, man. For my child to feel like that shit would crush me, man. That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's when you know you failed at your calling, bro.
And, you know, he's remarried, which is cool. But my youngest daughter, she actually obviously remembers a lot more than what I thought she did. Every time she sees him with his wife, she gets so angry. Not because of the fact that he has a new wife, it's the fact that she says she hates to see them together because he's so nice to his new wife and he's so mean and horrible to me. And I didn't know that she remembered like a lot of the stuff that she does.
Oh, wow.
And, you know.
But you sure but you sure it ain't just on the surface, though?
As far as, what do you mean?
You know, but as far as like, you know, him not being that way to her, it might just be, you know, they just putting on a good show. I mean, I like to think he's changed. He's a better person.
It could be that because he's older and his wife is older, she's 10 years his senior, so I would like to think that she's more settled and reserved and she already had, you know, she's more successful than him. And she, you know, I think that because of that gap right there, that she's not easily manipulated in that way.
Oh, my God.
Now, I don't know if anything has happened physically between the two of them. I do know that they... I have no idea because, you know, my girls, they go visit them every other weekend. Anything can happen between, you know, the time that they visit to the time that they're gone.
And that's crazy. So he has an older woman that's 10 years older than him, more successful than him. Y'all got done with y'all relationship because he wasn't done being a boy. So he went and got a mama figure. Typical shit. Typical nigga shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No offense. No offense. But goddamn, brother. I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, him talking, you know, we're cool. We speak. As most of his family, they don't speak to him at all. But I've never cut lines of communication with them because they are my children's family. But yeah, No. So you, like I said, like those are three different my scenarios. What happened with my mom and my sister's mothers with my dad, and then, you know, with my friend that I was telling you about earlier, like, these are all situations of domestic violence. They all happen with completely different circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, completely. You know, and you know what? I used to work in property management, and I remember we had this president. And I remember the girl, she was coming to office with black eyes. And
oh, wow.
She had three kids, and the girlfriend that was the stud, the manly one, I guess, or the masculine one, she would whoop her ass all the time.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's, you know, yep. Yeah.
That's so many and layers in that one.
Yeah. And I could never figure it. Like, she would always, you know, come in the office, you know, with her dark sunglasses and her busted lips and black eyes. And I just couldn't wrap my head around it. Nobody really could. And it would be just, you know, funny people would come in crying and begging for us to let her break her lease. And then next thing you know, she's like, no, it's okay. I'm going to say we're good. So, I think taking the abuse has to do a lot with not knowing who you are and not being assured in yourself and not being centered.
Agreed. And this, and then that's why, like, I like, you know, the thing that I had on the fly, that hashtag, that why I stayed, you know, so that's always an interesting question for me. Like, why did you stick around? You know,
yeah.
Even after it go on for so long.
Yeah. I'm almost certain that is the reason why people stay in these situations. Like, you're lost. Like, I don't know, like, if you've ever seen, and it can start at any age. I remember in high school, there was this couple, dude used to whoop this girl's ass, and we were like all 16, 17 years old, but she stayed in the situation.
Wow.
And it has a lot to do with not being secure in yourself, with where you are. Not taking the time to really get to know yourself, and insecurity. Oh my God! Like, think about it. I know that was one of my reasons, because like I said, I stayed because of fear, because I thought that I couldn't survive, and especially after I had our second child, really was like this.
But not a fear of him.
Not even, well, let me take that back. The only thing that I actually feared from him was the threat that he always made, that he was going to take my children from me and I would never see them again if I ever tried to leave him.
Yeah, you knew that wasn't possible, so.
And because, those are my babies, so obviously that's a sore spot. That's a weak spot. Like, that's the spot. Doing anything physically to me, I don't think that was ever a fear of mine. It was everything that he's saying about me and to me is true. Nobody's going to want me with these kids. Like, this is it for me. I can't be successful without him. I can't do this. I can't do that. And then this man is going to try to take my kids. And I kept thinking about how my mom told me that my father kept trying to take me from her. And it just kept playing over and over in my mind. So people stay for different reasons, but it all boils down to fear and insecurity.
Mm.
Or I've heard of and done a little research about the what is it? That's the only form of love that a person could recognize. They recognize that attention as a form of love. If they didn't, they wouldn't get so angry if they didn't actually love me. Like, I've heard that.
That's a measure. Anger is a measure of love.
Yeah, like that's the amount. Like that's you're getting attention. They got so angry with you because they love you and they care just that deeply and they care just that much. Because usually, it always follows with a "I'm sorry, I won't do that again. I shouldn't have said that. You know, you're the one for me." And I just get so angry. I just love you so much. And I just can't control myself. You just make me so crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, be followed with gifts and showered with all of these moments of special treatments and great sex and all of this. And then you get sucked right back in.
Yeah.
Mhm.
I don't know, man. I was gonna, you know, so, my ex-wife. You know, like I said, you know, I think what made her lash out. See, she was used to that as well. That was the kind of love she knew. So she wasn't used to my approach because I'm so subtle. I'm not gonna yell at you. I'm not saying to call you out your name or none of that. And see, sometimes that drives a person. If they yelling and screaming, and I'm just, you know, calling them, and they want to meet it there. And then, you know, that used to get her even more frustrated. You know what I'm saying?
Because they feel like if they're not getting a certain elevated reaction out of you, then you don't care.
Exactly. I can see that. That's true.
Yeah. It's like you're not loud enough. You're not. You should be angry and smashing stuff as hell, trying to smash me, and let me know that you really feel this. So to them, it's like you don't care. Like you're ignoring them instead of appreciating the fact that you have a calm temperament and want to actually handle it accordingly, whatever the situation may be.
Yeah.
I actually know somebody else, a guy that was in an abusive relationship, and stayed in the relationship because of all of the perks that came along with the relationship. So the credit cards and the money and the trips and the all of this stuff, it was worth it to him for a while.
But he was getting beat.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was, you know, he's gay. He was with a man.
Ah,
but
gotcha. Gotcha.
That makes sense. Yeah. But for him, and we talked about this, like, because I asked the question, well, what made you stay? Because to me, I just didn't understand it because it's like, well, how are you letting you a nigga letting a whole other nigga whoop your ass? Okay. But he, you know. Like when he really thought about it, he was like, the lifestyle was too good to walk away from. Until, like, he just was like, I'm letting this whole person determine my worth by the things that they have that I don't have. So, you know, it happens everywhere. It happens with a lot of people that you wouldn't even know. You have women, like you said, how your ex-wife, that's verbally abusive. You have women that antagonize men because they're looking for that reaction, or they have this idea in this mindset like, I'm a woman, you can't hit me, I can do whatever I want to do.
And like, man, it was so bad, like, you know what I mean? I'm gonna be honest, like, I'm gonna fast forward to the end of the story, how we ended. I'm gonna end it with. I'm going to end the story at she came home about 3 or 4 o'clock the next afternoon. And when she came in, you know, hair was in disarray. You could tell she had been having sex. She had half a bottle of Ciroc. I'm like, what's up? I got, you know, my son was at the house at the time. I'm like, what's up? What you got going on? Where you been? What the fuck? She started going in. What you mean? Where I've been? I've been out. I've been, you know what I mean? I'm like, what? They kind of said it is. We arguing. Of course, I turned into all kind of pussy niggas. But she said the ultimate shit to me. I only been with you the last 2 years because it been convenient. I don't have to pay no bills. I don't have to clean up. I don't have. I'm like, damn, I sound like God give to a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? But see, I was naive as hell, and I, you know, really thought I was doing the godly thing by trying to save this relationship, save this marriage, that it wasn't no fight for. You know what I mean? And even at that point, like, you know, to even do that, like, wailing at me like that, saying the shit she was saying in front of my son, and I couldn't even respond back like I wanted to because in front of him. You ain't thinking about him, I am. So I'm going to show him how not to talk to a woman, even in an argument, even though I should. I'm going to show him how to handle this situation. We going to walk. We going to bounce. And shit, man, that was 9 or 10 years ago. We ain't been back since.
Wow.
No. I don't think it's not that long.
It probably, because you probably had checked out 9 or 10 years ago. I think when it comes down to fighting marriage and trying to do everything to save the marriage, obviously it takes both people in that marriage to make it work. And I had to learn myself that any event that the marriage does, if you can lay your head down at night and honestly say that you fought and you put everything that you could into it to fix it or do your part.
Fact.
Because what we have to do is learn how to do self-improvement first. Because you can't try to fight or fix it if you don't actually look internally. So at the end of the day, you're still doing self-improvement and elevation and self-growth regardless of whether this person is ready to also do their own self-improvement and evaluation, and they're ready to grow. You know what I'm saying? Because both people have to individually evaluate themselves and grow and learn in order for the marriage and the relationship to elevate and grow. At least
well
that's what
said.
I know. You know? Because
well said,
I just thought of like, you know, I felt like I had a lot of emotions going through my divorce. Like, I felt like did I give up too fast? Or, you know, maybe I didn't pray and fight enough. Or, you know, well, no, I'm doing the right thing because of my children. Like, I was all over the place. And it took me a while to even actually use the words and say I was in an abusive marriage. Because I was like, no, I wasn't in an abusive marriage because I wasn't in the hospital every other week. I had to call the police a lot, but I wasn't in the hospital every other week. Nobody could tell. I was in denial of my own shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like,
and it took a lot of this. It's been a lot of, I think there's been a lot of relief for me too, because I didn't know I was a victim like this.
Mm-hmm. And especially I can see how for you, because you're a man, and it's like, and you know, a man is the strength, the backbone, and how can a man be, you know, and especially in society, they think it's impossible for a man to be a victim or abused mentally, emotionally. They think, and like I said, mental and emotional abuse is sometimes overlooked as a form of abuse. People just think about physical. And when people think about it, they're like, well, how you let this woman be like that? Well, because you were taught how to control yourself and how not to use your hands as a form of displaying your anger towards the woman that's hitting you.
That's a fact.
You know? Yeah. But it takes a minute sometimes, like, for you to really, like, realize it. And when it does, it hits you like a ton of bricks. Like, damn, I really went through that shit.
That's it.
Yeah.
Try being with somebody that want to be somebody else.
Lord. So, like, when you were talking about earlier about how women are like, oh, you ain't shit, this, that, and the third, man. It's all childish behavior that was never redirected.
Exactly.
I mean, that's really what it was.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing that I really think of.
It's power in words, man. That's why I always, try to, stress to people even so much that your words can be so powerful that they can prevent actions before they even happen. You know, case in point. The reason why I address women, I say queen a lot. You'll hear that. I'm sure you don't heard me. I'm going to say it to you a couple of times since you've been on. And even with my boys, I call them sir. And say, they say good morning. I say good morning, sir. Because that automatically, I'm addressing you as giving you some prestige, putting you on the pedestal, looking at you in a higher regard. Because I want you to carry yourself as such. And I wanted you to reciprocate that. So if that's all we're giving back to each other, just this positive energy, this positive vibe, that's the only thing coming from that. That's in mathematics. That's in science. That's in real life. Two positives. Gonna give you a positive. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Thanks, man. And that's why I try to, we put the labels on it. So, like, if you my queen, I gotta treat you as such.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That means I'm supposed to. Yeah, that's what it, because I know who I am, right? Because that's that knowledge of self, like we were saying. I know who I am. So I know what I need. When I know who I am, I love myself, and I know what it takes for me. And when I know what I need, what I need is you, because I need what was created for me. That was created for me. So you play such a vital part in my reason for existence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what guys don't understand, man. Like when a guy knows that, that's when you able to look at it different. Like those little arguments. That's why I tell guys, man, fellas, it takes skill to handle a woman. Trust me, fellas. It takes skill to handle a woman, fellas. They can't teach you in the school. It ain't nothing you can learn at Harvard. It ain't nothing you can learn there. That's your calling. Man made for woman, woman made for man. And this is nothing against the gay community or anything like that, but we ain't dealing with that right now. Talking about this.
Right.
We ain't talking about that right now.
Because we wouldn't be if it wasn't for one another. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. I'm going to take it even further. I'm going to take it even further than that, what you just said. Where will we be? Where will we be if that ain't the, if we don't keep the nature, get the order back restored? We can't build a nation without a nation, and those, that's how the cycle goes, fam. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is being brought to you by www.coldripping.com. www.coldripping.com. We launched the site already. Y'all go check it out. Street Apparel for more. Also, Atlanta Customs and Apparel. Again, Atlanta Customs and Apparel, 1130 Euclid Avenue. That's 1130 EUCLID Avenue. Staying open from Sunday through Thursday from 12 to 7. Friday and Saturday, staying open at 8 o'clock. Also, Chris Smith, multimedia.com. Chris Smith, multimedia.weebly.com. Master. Fly design, brochure design, all that and more, man. Y'all go ahead and check them out. Also, ladies and gentlemen, that date is approaching. January the 20th, the 1000 Man March, held right here in Atlanta. go to www.1000menmarch.com. Again, www.1000menmarch.com. Trying to claim back our community, family. And that's what we're doing out here. Family, you got to be royal in your own fashion. Act like a king to be treated like one. Act like a queen to be treated like one. The way you carry yourself will often determine how you are treated. In the long run, appearing vulgar or uncommon will make people disrespect you. For the king respects himself and inspires the same sentiment in others, just as a queen respects herself and inspires the same sentiment in others. By acting regally and confident of your powers, you make yourself seem destined to wear a crown. And I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I'm a king, family. Until I get the complete package and complete full understanding of myself and my purpose and my people, what I'm supposed to be doing for the man, so I can be able to transcend into a God, what I was created to be here. I think I know something going on, family. We abusing the only heaven we got on this earth, fellas. And that's that woman, man. You want change to happen for you? You want things to turn around in your life? That's your field of change right next to you. You better embrace it. You better love it. I can't be nobody but that Pimp Black. This is The Vain Verdict. Follow blogtalkradio.com/The Vain Verdict. Instagram, The_Vain_Verdict. Facebook, @The Vain Verdict. Twitter, @The Vain Verdict. Everywhere else, @The Vain Verdict. Caller 939. I appreciate you for calling in, Queen.
Thank you for having me.
That's what's up, guys. We'll catch y'all next round, family.